we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, and now we're going to pick it up in verse number 10. We actually going to be in verse number 11 at the paragraph mark. It says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Now, we know where we're at when we're reading Ecclesiastes. We're looking at this is Old Testament doctrine. So anything you read in the Old Testament, you have to gauge it by your apostle today, which is the Apostle Paul. So at this time, they didn't have the inheritance we have today. So I'm going to give you the slant from here, and then I'm going to gauge it by our doctrine today. Now, today, you know that the Bible says when you trust Christ, you get an inheritance. I'm going to read a verse to you. I'm not going to stay here long, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, in whom, speaking of Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So, once you trust the gospel, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you have an inheritance that earth cannot corrupt, earth can't touch. But since you have spiritual blessings, you can apply this part of this text. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. He's looking at earthly things. You know, if a man on earth gets an inheritance, you need to have some wisdom to use it if you get it. Well, otherwise, you just blow it like the prodigal son. But with us, we get an inheritance when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to use wisdom and tap into your spiritual blessings. Just like an earthly man, he can use his wisdom to use that money that he gained out of inheritance, he or she, for the right reasons and right things and live a good godly life with it. There's nothing wrong with that. But you got an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's the thing that you get. You get these people, and they talk about revival, 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 and all this stuff, and revival, and most of them don't even know what revival means. Right. In the Bible anyway. And look, they're talking about we're needing this. We're needing this other thing. We got to need. Look, the Lord has given you all you need. He's given you the Holy Spirit of God. You know what the issue is? People want to put things over on God like it's His fault when He's saying you need to just yield to what I've showed you. He's given you a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible, and people are talking about all this stuff and they don't realize everything's right there in the Word of God. And He said, I've given you spiritual blessing. You're one of the best blessings you've got. You've got the ability to say no to sin now that you're saved. Why? Because the lost world, y'all, people talk about all this stuff these people are doing. Guess what's out? They're connected to it. Well, you get a choice. People talk about sin and willfully. Every one of us, if we saved here tonight, you all sin willfully. Why? You got a choice once you're saved. You can either choose to serve the flesh or choose to serve the Spirit. So now that you've got an inheritance in Christ, you've got all these spiritual blessings, the whole thing is use the wisdom of God to use it right and tap into that spiritual power in a correct way. That's the thing. You know, wisdom is good with an inheritance. Well, how are you going to get wisdom? How are you going to know how to live a good Christian life if you never read your Bible? See, that's the issue. You talk to a lot of Christians, and most of them, they don't ever read their Bible. I'm not saying you got to be a Bible scholar, but at least pick it up here, there, and yonder. Amen. You know, that's the thing is have a daily fellowship. Why? So you can use what He's already given you. And guess what? Instead of having to be reviving it wrong, we're having a meeting. Y'all know that. But I'm just saying, if you would stay ready, you wouldn't have to get ready.
That's right. Amen.
That's the thing. I mean, if y'all ever followed boxers and stuff like that years ago, I used to love watching, you know, following some of these UFC fighters and stuff like that. And some of the best ones, they could call them up, and guess what they do? They call them, they say, we got this fight set up with so-and-so. Does that sound good? Look, I don't care who it is. I'm ready. I'm ready now. I'll be ready then. Why? Because they stayed ready. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. A lot of times, you know, when the fight come up, you imagine having a fight with a sword, and the fight comes up, and you say, hold on, I need to go take some sword classes. It's too late now. If you're constantly with the Lord, and you're constantly praying, and you're constantly reading your Bible and stuff, when the thing comes up, and you say, hold on, I got to go find this Bible verse on this thing right here, you'll know what the verse says. Hey, I read the verse the other day, and I can apply this to my daily life. That's wisdom with inheritance. It's a good thing to use what you got. Just like an earthly man can say, if I've got wisdom, there'll be profit what to other people? Profit to them. Where it says that see the Son. Okay, let me give you a thing about profit. Here's another verse, Ephesians 4:28. It says, let him that stole steal no more, rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Why? Because wisdom is good with inheritance. Or if you got something, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Well, a lot of people don't have anything because they don't work. You got a generation now today who there are other people that they could help along the way, but they never work or anything, so they don't have anything to give anybody. One of the best things about working is if something comes up, you can help somebody that's in need, a true need. Not somebody that's just, you know, wanting a handout. There's a difference between a hand up and a hand out. But he's saying if you got wisdom, you can see the proper need and say, hold on just a minute, this is not the right thing. Y'all remember, it hadn't been all that long ago, but we had a guy come in here. We was in Sunday school class. He came in here. And see, you have to have wisdom on things. It's the first time I think I've mentioned this since. I only think none of us even talked about it since it happened. He came in. Every one of us wanted to help him, but guess what? The right way. What did we tell him? Sit down here. We're having a serious situation here. This church is serious. Okay, if you want to, you can sit down there, and guess what we'll do? We will help you. We'll go to the store with you. We said that. I think Brother Paul, and I know that. Look, if you'll wait on us, no, I got to get gone right now. You know what? Just hand me some money. No, you got to have wisdom to understand. We will help you, but we're not going to just hand you money and say, we don't know you. It's not right. You're supposed to help somebody who's in need in the right way. Look, I don't have any remorse for somebody who comes up to me wanting money, and they go down here to the store and they'll buy beer and cigarettes, and they got enough money to do all that, but they won't come up here to the church. They want you to write them a check for $185. No, I'm not doing it. Why? It's not right. Why? We got to be good stewards. A wisdom with an inheritance, just like physical, if you're going to take that wisdom and use it the correct way physically, we should do the same thing spiritually and say, God, give me wisdom so I can use the wisdom of the Word of God in my daily life and help others with it. Well, there's going to be people come up to you for spiritual advice, and we need wisdom to dole that spiritual advice out the correct way and point them to the Lord. Like we should. And so sometimes, you know, well, just Google it. Look, you can't Google everything. Some things you're going to have to get in there and study and get with other people and pray about it. Now you get back over here and it says, for wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. Now this is an important verse. It says, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom, here's a good thing to know about it, that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Now we're going to talk about this for just a minute. Wisdom is a defense, but the Bible says just like wisdom is a defense, money is a defense. You get to the place where you can't even hardly talk about money anymore. This is the book on money. This book, the author of this book is Jim Crone, and it's called Money is a Defense. That's the name of the book. You can get it, I think, off of Amazon or anything else. I've had this book a long time. But I'm going to read the bottom part of this paragraph on page 20. He said, oh, but God will take care of. Stop. What if they are reaping what they have sown? Well, if they were spiritual, stop. Every family is not as spiritual as they should be, and no family is 100% are spiritual 100% of the time. Well, God can use the stress of their financial situation to help them grow. Stop. Does that mean we should try to put ourselves under as much stress as possible all the time? The fact is undeniable that the situation is a lot less stressful when there is a large balance in the bank account as opposed to a lot of debt. Let's not forget that there is Bible on that. If in our vanity field, in sin-cursed world, money is a defense. Living for money is wrong, but being wise with money is exceedingly right. It's time to reset our thinking about money. That's what he said. Too many Christians, and maybe this is just an excuse, have an outlook that it is almost unscriptural to have money. If I had that mindset, I don't think I would save, and I probably would spend more. If you have the mindset that money is a defense, then when you're out shopping, you're going to be a little bit more careful with it. You'll want to protect your bank account a little bit because it protects you, not in a way that replaces God, of course. It is ironic that Christians who are good stewards of their finances and have lots of money in the bank would be considered unspiritual, while someone who has little money in the bank because they are spending it all the time would be thought of as spiritual. No, it is more spiritual to have more money and fewer possessions. Money is just as much a defense as wisdom. What he's saying is, be a good steward of what you got. Nowadays people think you're spiritual if you're riding around in a hoopty, it's about to fall apart, but you get out with a Bible on your arm, well, it must be of God. May just be lazy, I don't know. The thing is, y'all, he's not saying have $200 or $300 in your banking account. What he's saying is, it's not unspiritual for somebody to be a wise steward with the money. Some people just are. Some people work hard. But guess what? A lot of people work hard, and they may not have a big old house, a whole lot of that stuff, but at least they spend wisely and they're not living beyond their means. Money is a defense just like wisdom is. Now, here's the wrong part of money's defense. Some of these people, they got so much money, they can get out of trouble all the time. Now, that'll kill them. That'll hurt them. Yeah. But what he's saying is this. If you're a wise steward of what you've got, you can help other people in the ministry and things like that, and help people like missionaries and people who's putting out messages and stuff like that. But the issue is this here too. You've got people who have things happen. We've had people call us and stuff like this, and they, man, we're going through all this financial situation. You get talking to them about it, and they've been so unwise with their money and just blowing their... They'll run down here and just buy it. If they see something, one little thing on sale, they'll buy everything that was on sale. Well, who cares? If you didn't need it, don't buy it. Well, then they want to get mad at you because, well, you went up here and bought this vehicle, so-and-so. It ain't none of your business what I bought. Why? If you're being wise with your money, maybe you need that vehicle for work. And they don't, it's not any of their business. What I'm saying is, if you're being wise with your money and you're not living beyond your means, that is a good thing. Why? Money is a defense. It's good for you to have savings and not live paycheck to paycheck. You got a world today, man. They just live paycheck to paycheck, and if one bad thing happens, man, they're in a mess. And I tell you something, this stuff that happened with COVID showed a lot of folks, you better have a little bit of savings. Why? Because it's like with me here this past, well, in January when I hurt my back, thank the Lord we got a savings. Why? What's that thing in the military? What's that saying? I forget, some Marines or not, but it says nobody's coming to save you. Why? Jesus saved your soul, but let me tell you something. You got to get out there and hustle, and you got to do things and work. Why? Because wisdom is a defense, but money is a defense too, and you have to be a wise steward of it. Why? Because it'll keep you from having all kind of stressful calamities. This just as spiritual for you to spend your money wisely and be a good steward of it as it is for you to say, well, so-and-so's wise, okay. Well, how do they spend their money? They just get out here and just blow it on anything? You're not supposed to do that. Why? It's not wise. Before long, you're so stressed out, you can't focus on the Lord because everybody's blowing their money on everything. And y'all, now we're living in a place now where people think everybody has to have a $700 phone, the whole family. You got, you know, four or five folks in the family, and everybody got a $700 phone. But then you got to have a nice vehicle, and then you got to have insurance on the vehicle, and then the gas is high, and then you got to go to the town. Everybody wants to go, and before long, money is just going, just going, just going. And they're saying, well, we don't have money. So, well, hold on just a minute now. We're living beyond our means. As a whole, most Americans live beyond their means. And there's nothing wrong with somebody. Some people call you a tightwad. Well, I'm just trying to make sure my family's got a little bit of money to where if something happened, we could eat. Yeah. Well, it's a defense. Y'all, that is just as important and just as spiritual to spend your money wisely so you can be a blessing and a help. Well, that's right there in the Bible. Now, as we look at this thing, it says, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Now, let me show you something about this life here. Turn to the left in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to look at verse number 18. Giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom helps where money don't have. I tell you what, you can be wealthy spiritually too with wisdom. I believe that you ought to treasure up wisdom just like what's that on that cartoon? Krusty Krab. What's the Mr. Krabs hoards up money on them cartoons. We watch cartoons with kids. And you know what? He's all about hoarding up money. Well, you know what? Wisdom is good. It's good for you to want to store up wisdom. That's why you ought to write it down. You ought to keep a notebook or write things in the margin of your Bible. Why? Because you're not going to remember it. You got to go back and refresh your mind. And here's the thing about wisdom. Let me show you this. Proverbs 3 verse 18 says, this is speaking of wisdom and things like this. It says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. You got to lay hold upon wisdom. It's spoken of in the female here, but it's just saying that. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. You know what that word retain means? The dictionary says to hold or keep in possession. Now, it's like a tree of life. It'll give you life. In the Old Testament sense, you know, they were promised, they had physical promises that we don't have in the Old Testament. They were promised long life if they lived close to the Lord. But let me tell you something, you don't have that now at all. And even then, it was kind of iffy in times. But what I'm saying is, retainer, you got to constantly go over these verses and over these verses. Why? Because if you don't retain it, you'll start losing things that you once knew. That's like this, y'all. I'm gonna tell you, there's a lot of things I done when I was younger and stuff like that. And I was reading my Bible and things, and I've forgotten. I've just forgotten. But you know what? Thank God I can go back to that Bible verse and get my Bible back out and refresh my memory. Why? Because if you don't keep going over those things, repeating, you'll forget it. And you're going to have to retain it. Now, the Bible says my life is hid with Christ in God. And our doctrine for today in Colossians 3 verse 3. But let me show you something else right quick. Write down if you want to, or mark in your margin, Romans 8:6, talking about life and wisdom. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The real kind of life is not adding years to your life, but adding life to your years. That's the thing. And a carnal mind is going to take away life from your years. So many people wonder why they just look back and say, man, the last 20 years was almost like Solomon. He's saying it's just vanity. It seemed like a waste. You know what's happening? They weren't living for the Spirit. And all that stuff that they waste their time on, it feels like you've wasted your time. Look, I've been places before. You ever been somewhere and you get set down and you say, oh man, I'm in the wrong place now. I wish I hadn't even came. And you get up there and you know you're with a whole bunch of people. You know you're in a situation you don't want to be in. You're like, man, I've wasted my time. You imagine doing that for 20 years. Y'all, that's why you have to use wisdom in your life and make good choices, because time goes by so fast, and before long, you look back and you say, oh, 3 or 4 years went by, 5 years went by, 10 years went by, and before long, you spend half a lifetime doing something you didn't even want to do and knew you shouldn't be doing. That's why you have to use wisdom, and it'll give you life to your years. Life, and Jesus Christ said, and more abundantly. Why it's so easy to waste time. I know with me, sometimes I say, I wish I could go back and take that part out. You can't do that. That's why the Bible says, redeem the time. You have to save your time from the evil day, because the evil days, will get it, before long you spent so many days doing stuff that don't amount to anything. And so you got to retain that wisdom to make good decisions, and it give you good life. Let's go over a couple more of these verses here before I get into that, because I could get in that real deep right there about that life. But it says this in verse 13, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked. Now, I looked this up in my Bible earlier. There's 14 references to the word crooked, and only three refers to the ones that God made crooked. And that has to do with Leviathan over in Job 26:13, Lamentations 3:9. That's things that God made. There are things that God made crooked that you can't, anything has to do with the devil, you're not going to straighten it out. Y'all, that's like people get all worked up about this stuff that goes on in the world and the world system that's run by the devil. Look, that stuff is crooked. And look, it's getting worse and worse. And you know what you'll do? You'll give yourself a headache trying to make something straight that God's made crooked and say, look, this world system is run by the devil and it's crooked. Don't lay up at night and worry about that stuff. Well, you know, one of the best things you can do, I was talking to my father-in-law today while we was working a little bit, and he said, I don't even watch the news anymore. Well, there's so much stuff on there you can't do anything about. Well, you turn it on, you know what? You don't get me about that news. Why don't they ever tell anything good that happens? I can understand a little bit of bad. I really can. I mean, I can understand reporting, you know, like if a murder happened. But when you turn on that news, or let's just say Memphis News, where you turn a murder here and a murder there and four shot, and here's they're selling drugs on this corner and this fentanyl thing. Before long, look, it don't take but about 5 minutes. You're trying to get, you're like, man, this is awful. But you know what? There's good things going on too. You get out of balance. Trying to fix things that only God can fix. There's some people, man, you might as well just leave them alone. You're not going to change them. They're so prideful and so fixed on whatever they're fixed on. You can pray for them and everything else. And look, if they don't yield to God and God do a work on that heart, you might as well forget it. And you know what you're doing? You're wasting your time trying to straighten something out that can't be straightened out in your power. It takes Almighty God. I know with me, I've learned in life, there's some people, you may like them and you wish you could carry them along with you and keep on, but some people, you may as well just leave them alone. Why? They're just crooked. Like my daddy used to say, crooked as a dog's hind leg. You know what? Some people are just like that. And you wish they would be different, but they're not going to be different. You know what he's saying? If God's in that thing, and see, the God made the devil. He's called that crooked serpent. Whenever he fell, God turned him from a cherub into a serpent, and that's what he is, and you're not going to change it. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots, the Bible says? No. So you know what? Things that you can't change, don't worry about it. Why? Watch this next verse. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. It says, but in the day of adversity, consider. Here's what you got to consider. There's something you're going to have some good days and you're going to have some bad days under the sun. That's just part of living under the sun or on this earth. So you go. That's why I was telling y'all earlier, I probably hurt myself working again. But why you got it to get, I look at it like this. I'm going to try to work while it's here. Why? Because there's going to be a time when kind of gets dried up again, you know, and not as much work coming in. So I'm trying to work all I can work. Why? In the day of prosperity, be joyful and thank the Lord for it. Why, there's going to come a day of adversity. Why, the two are right there together. You're going to have joyful and adversity, and that stuff's there to keep you balanced out. Why, if every day was good, you wouldn't appreciate them anymore. So you have to have the two to keep you balanced out. I know with me, man, I'll have a job, and I'll start a new job. Man, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to do this. And before long, okay, something's done happened. Now I got a hole in my air hose. You know, get an air hose. Come back, and you get back to shop, and you say, you know what? I left my 5/8 on that truck. Now I got to go back to the store. I got to go buy another 5/8. And then you get up there and then you're like, well, I was going to make so-and-so much money. I may as well buy 4 or 5 5/8 while I'm here because I lose them all the time. And what happens is you get on a job. It's amazing to me, you have in your mind, this is going to pay this much. And then before long, it just starts dwindling back. Why? The two are there together to keep you balanced out. Why? Because if not, every day was just wonderful, you stop thanking God. You know what you have to do sometimes? You just stop and say, Lord, I'm about to get mad. Who am I going to get mad at? Myself? Nobody around to get mad. I'm the one that did it. But what happens is it causes you to pray. And if something causes you to pray, that's a good thing. The two are there to show you, look, you can't guess things. I'm going to show you in this text right here. It's there because you can't guess it. It says, consider, God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. You can't find it. After you've met God, let me tell you something. You can't find nothing after him that amounts to figuring things out. What, now, how many of you, once you've trusted Jesus Christ, once you're saved, how many of you have found anything any better than being able to go to Almighty God and get wisdom from on high that does not match the wisdom of this world, which is earthly, James says, sensual and devilish? You ever notice why earthly wisdom, guess what it does? It always causes you to go by your senses, something you can feel, something how I feel about it. I'm glad I don't have to go by how I feel about it. Why? Because my feelings aren't accurate so much of the time. I'll just level with you how inaccurate my feelings are. I've learned in preaching, if I've got a message that's a hard message, don't preach that message whenever you're in a bad mood. You preach the easy messages whenever you're in a bad mood and you're not feeling good. And when you come in, you're like, man, what a great week. This is wonderful. Preach that hard message in that great joyful mood so it won't come across wrong. Why? Because if not, you'll go by your feelings and you go by your flesh. And before long, you're trying to do spiritual things in the flesh. You know what? Sometimes you come home and you're in a bad mood and everything. You better be real careful. Better just be real chipper and everything. Why? Because, look, being a bad, but go in the bad side whenever you feel great. Why? You'll go by your flesh, and then before long, you've made a mess. Why? The two are set against the other. Why? You can't find anything out without God. You know what that is? He's going to go on to say in verse 15, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. He's substituting the word life with vanity. Instead of the days of my life, days of my vanity. He is at the place where he's got everything a man could wish for, and he's saying my life's just vanity. Why? Because if you're trying to live life without God and without looking at things the way God has got both things against each other and you can't figure it out without him, you'll look at life as vanity. And this is why am I even here? People get that way. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about other countries, but you can read the statistics about America. There's no more depression in any other country as much as it is in America, the most prosperous nation in the world. Why? People just look at life as vanity. You know why? Not understanding this. He says, there is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness. Here's a good man dying. Good, you know, he's a good man. Why'd he die? You know? It says, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. The two are set against each other. You know what that is? Life is unpredictable. Why? Because it keeps you leaning on God. Because if you could predict, I know if I do this, that, and other thing, I know it's going to work and I know I'm going to do well. You know what I've seen? I've seen hard working men spend their time working, doing right, paying their bills and everything else, end up bankrupt. And then I've seen people just act like idiots and get out here and don't help anybody and selfish and everything else and live their life and just seem like to do all right. You know what that is? God don't settle accounts here on earth. He settles them on the other side over there. There's going to be a lot of times, y'all, and I tell you what's hard on me. Y'all working folks, I know y'all work hard. I mean, you really do. It's hard for you to see a hard-working person struggle. That's rough, man. It really is. And then to see this old sorry rascal, so-and-so, lies, everybody lies and cheats and everything else, and knowing that they've done people sorry. And just seem like they don't have care in this world, nothing else. But you got to realize something. God's looking at their heart. And the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. You know what he's doing? You're at least leaning on God, looking to God. He's giving that man time to be saved. You wonder why some of these perverts and stuff like that live be 80 and 90 years old. And some of these folks that you know, just good godly folks, die young and stuff like that. Just breaks your heart, man. What is that? That's life on this earth is unpredictable and it keeps you leaning on God. That's some of the hardest stuff in life is just to look at things under the sun and say, this is just vanity. This don't make any sense. But it's life under the sun. That's the way this life is. But you know what? Because it's set up like that, it causes us leaning on God and looking to God. You know what? I've seen things happen to people. some of the worst things. I mean, especially some of these people I went to college with and stuff like that. And you know what happens? Here they are. They're leaning on God, looking to God. And they say, if that had never happened, man, I would have never been as close to the Lord as I am right now. You're talking about some spiritual giants, man. You know what happens? They've got an empathy about them. When you get around them, something happens, they're, oh, man, you can tell they really care. But some people, you say something to them, they don't. Why? They've never had anything happen. You can't minister. That's like in life. The people who help you the most are people who've been through things, and they hurt in their heart for you when they see you hurting. You imagine some of these people go to the hospital and stuff like that, and they're able to minister to people. And sometimes when something similar has happened to them that's happened to you, they don't even have to say it. They can just walk up and hug you, and it just ministers. Why? Because they, without even words, they're ministering to your heart because they went through things. God's got that thing set up for we can help one another. And all that stuff don't go to waste. He says over here in verse 16, be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? It's self-righteousness. Righteous over much. Self-righteous. I've heard some of the craziest self-righteous stuff. I've heard people say, you know, they wax eloquent. So-and-so, you know, you can't be saved till you're 12 years old. Where did you read that at? They didn't read that in the Bible. They got that. Somebody told them that. Look, do you know a child? Our kids got saved earlier. You know when a child can get saved as soon as they know they're a sinner. Amen. When a child's old enough to know that they're a sinner and they've transgressed against a holy, righteous God, you can show them the gospel and they can believe and be saved. And some kid gets saved at 5 years old, 6 years old, stuff. Hey, that's not uncommon. Amen. Why? Because it's simple. The Bible teaches you it's so simple a child can understand it. Salvation's a simple thing. But you know who makes it complex? Adults do. People make stuff hard, you know, righteous over much. I've heard people say, well, you know, you can't be of God, you got a beard. You know, I had a beard one time, you know, I had a big old beard. People made out like, yeah. Well, show me a Bible verse. The Lord Jesus Christ had a big old beard. That's right. So sometimes I want to say, I'm just trying to be like Jesus. But people strip a gear on that stuff. People make up stuff, man. I mean, people literally over righteous much. Look, I've heard people say that you can't clap in a church service. Now, we know it's not a performance. I don't want to make singing and what we do, you know, people got various gifts and things, Lord, piano play and stuff, you know, a performance. But at the same time, if you appreciate, the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. There's nothing wrong with that. People make their own convictions. That's like for me, I've got a few convictions, but I can't prove it to you in the Bible. But I'm not going to put my convictions I can't find in the Bible on you. I've got a few things that I think. Y'all say, well, what kind of convictions he got? I'll give you one. I believe if somebody's going to be a preacher, I believe they ought to take care of their body. I do. You see some of these people, and they get up here, and they can't have... Now look, if you can't help it, and you got diabetes or something like that, I understand that. But some people can't even preach. And you're in the pew, and you're like, man, they're going to die here in a minute. Man, I mean, that's distracting to me. I'm not saying you got to be a bodybuilder, but I believe you ought to take care of your body and you ought to work your body. If nothing else, get a garden and work out there in your garden. Why? You ought to work to be able to relate to working people. Well, most people around here work. You need to be able to relate to people. That's a conviction of mine. But guess what? I'm not going to stand up here and say, well, so-and-so's not of God if he's not... Do it. I'm just saying that's a personal conviction. Not righteous over money. Don't be so self-righteous that if somebody is not doing it the way that you're doing it, you think, must not be saved. I've heard that junk. I get so tired of that. Look, leave me alone if you like it. Just stay away from me. Why, you're weird. You got some of these people, man. And look, we're trying to believe the Bible. And it's like, you got y'all got a Christmas tree at your house? Christmas tree? Yeah. Well, you know, that's not of God. I want to say, leave me alone. Just, why? You got to be like that. Look, I'm not worshiping the tree. Jeremiah 10 said it can do no harm. I know right where you're getting I know right where the verses are. But two or three verses down, it says, neither can they do any harm. Okay, let's not bother anything. My kid like to decorate the tree. We're not worshiping it. You got some of these people, they just go too far with it. I'm not bringing it in the church. You see what I'm saying? You can go too far with things in life. He said, be not, oh, why you'll destroy yourself. You won't even have a testimony. People are like, that dude's weird. Look, stay away from me with this UFO stuff. Yeah. I've never seen one. I don't want to see one. Why? People say, well, they're there. Well, I don't care. I don't care if they've ever bothered me. Look, I'm going to study my Bible and try to be sane and help people. Do you think, you imagine come up to somebody trying to witness the gospel. I'm like, how you doing? You know, UFOs are real. They're going to be like, just like me. This dude's crazy. Like, okay, hey, let's see. What I'm saying is, you can literally destroy yourself spiritually being over righteous much. I'm running from my own child. But see, what the Bible is trying to teach us is, he's saying under the sun, all through here, you're going to see you've got to have a balance in life. You've got to realize some days are going to be good days, prosperity. Some days, adversity. He's saying don't be over righteous much, but don't be over wicked much too. Well, you got some people, they know we're under grace, and they're like, well, you can just, you know, do however you want to. Be careful with that. Why? Because sometimes people do some of the most stupid stuff, and then they blame God.
Yeah.
You can't get out here and live like an idiot and then say, well, God's chastening me. God don't have to. You're living so crazy. The effects of sin are going to follow you. It's just set up that way. People's like, he done broke down my hot water heater. When was the last time you bought one? Thing's been good to bake it 30 years. It's 30 years old. It's going to break down sometime. Well, you know, God's flattening my tires. You run over some nails, you're going to have a flat tire. God didn't do that to you. You know, some people, I can't keep tires on this truck. Yeah, every time you pull out in the road, you're spinning your tires, they're going to be gone. What I'm saying is, he's saying, have a balance in life. Y'all, one thing being about good Bible-believing Christians, I can be around y'all, I don't have to have a whole bunch of walls up. Y'all know that I want to live close to the Lord, but y'all, I'm just like anybody else. I deal with sin. Paul said over in Romans chapter number 7, he said, I do good, evil's present with me. He said, the thing that I would, I do not, and the things that I would not, that I do. That's how I feel sometimes. But you know what? We should be to the place we want to be close to God, but don't be so up here that nobody can approach you. But at the same time, watch your testimony. Don't you know, okay, well, there's none righteous, no, not one. He's about to say that in a few verses down. But don't get to the point where you'll just do anything either. You got to get to the place where you'll have balance in life and say, Lord, I want to get closer to you each and every day. I know I'm going to mess up. Lord, help me grow closer to you. Help me walk with you. And that way I'd be a help to somebody. But at the same time, you're not a weirdo. You get around. I'm telling you, man, I've met some weird people, man. I don't know if I attract them or what. You get around some of these folks and they're like, you know, we know Bigfoot. We know that Bigfoot's real. And we... Look, if you've seen him, just tell me where you saw him so I can stay out of there. Look, I don't want to see any of that stuff. Some people, it's like they want to see things. And y'all, you know what I want to see? Honesty. I want to see people grow close to the Lord, and I'd like to see my family grow up in a good Bible-believing church where people got enough sense to stay away from strange stuff. That's a good verse right there. I know there's strange things that go on in the world, but look, I'm not worried about some of this stuff that you can't prove anyhow. You know, all these people, you know, let me tell you what messes folks up, and I'll get off of this. Some of these people get so involved in some of this conspiracy stuff, they never come back from it. If you can't find it in the Bible, leave it. There's enough strange stuff in the Bible anyway to make people think you're weird anyhow. Yeah. Once you really believe the Word of God and you're trying to apply the Word of God, and guess what? Praying for your enemies, people think you're a weirdo. There's enough of that stuff in there. Look, that's what I'm saying is, let the Bible balance you out instead of just getting out here. And I forgot what I was even going to tell you because I just want to be balanced in our Christian walk. Why? Because if not, you're going to lose your ability to be able to relate to people because they're going to know you're just too far out there. Oh, yeah, about the conspiracy theory. There's people who get to studying that stuff, and I know two in particular. They got to looking this stuff up on the internet and went too far with it. And you know what it did? Satan has a mysterious draw about him. If he can get you out of this Bible, he don't care what you're studying. He don't care how neat it's. If he can get anything neater than studying your Bible, he'll get you. And guess what? Those two people are pretty much crackpots now. Why? Because they stopped studying their Bible. Y'all, by the time you study angelology and demonology in your Bible, soteriology, hermeneutology, and all these ologies, they study of in there. Once you study all these things in the Bible and the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of the Trinity of God and all these stuff, all these things in the Bible, that's stuff that'll help you in your walk. But this other stuff, over-righteous much, just think you know it all, that'll destroy you. Or getting to the place you say, never mind, I can just do whatever I want to. Guess what? That you know, you're not going to lose your salvation, but guess what? You lose your testimony. Yeah. And before long, you can't witness to anybody. He says this, be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Now, I'm going to get a little bit into this, and then we'll probably have to close with this one. I want to show you something here, though, about dying before your time. If you will, let's jump over to, there's so much on this. Let's jump over to Psalm chapter 90. So, talking about dying before your time, we're living in a society that's infatuated with long life, and we need to know where we're at. We're in the Old Testament. Now, why are you going there? Y'all remember our study a little bit in Exodus? In the Old Testament, the Lord gave the law, and the Lord said, if you will do these things, if you remember reading Exodus and then Deuteronomy, He said, I will not put the diseases of Egypt upon you. So what He's saying is, if Israel, the children of Israel, would do the law and keep those commandments, God wouldn't put diseases on them and they would have long life. Now, for us, that's not necessarily the case. There's things that can help us, but at the same time, you don't have the physical guarantees they had in the Old Testament. That's why whenever you start reading the Gospels and the Lord comes in and He's healing people, what's He saying? Those are prophesied messianic miracles, and it was saying, Israel, you're sick. And the reason you're sick is you're not keeping your commandments. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been any sickness. When He came there, the very fact that they were lepers and the very fact that they were lame and the very fact that they were deaf and blind was saying that they were not keeping their law. Why? Because in the Old Testament, if they done certain things, they had a long life. Now, with us, we're going to see kind of how this applies a little bit. But in the Old Testament, and some of this runs into our dispensation a little bit. But Psalm 90, verse 10 says, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. He's saying even with 70 and 80 years, it's soon cut off, you fly. It's not, you know, going to last all that long. But see, the normal lifespan of a man or people under the judgment of God right now is 70 or 80 years. Why? Because man was designed to live forever. And then their lifespan, as sin increased, got less and less and less. But the allotted time of a man can be lengthened by right living. That's according to Proverbs chapter 3, 1 and 2. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. He shall direct thy path for length of days. Y'all remember reading that? Long life shall he add unto thee. All that. Well, in the Old Testament, if they would do right, He would add days. And He would help them live to that full strength of that thing. And some of them even live way long. You take Moses. I'm trying to remember. I wrote down here in the margin of my Bible. It can be shortened, of course. Joshua, it wasn't normal for him because here's 70 and 80 years was the strength of it. Joshua lived 110 years according to Joshua 24:29. Eli lives to the age of 98. And Barzillai makes it to 80 years old. That's 1 Samuel 4:15 and 2 Samuel 19:34 and 35. But Barzillai is a very aged man at 80, it says in 2 Samuel 19:32. David dies at 70, 2 Samuel 5:4. But one of these days, and according to Isaiah 65:20 in the millennium, whenever people are born in there, that it said 100 years old would be like a child. So he's going to swap the days. Now here's the thing about living long. Turn, if you will, to, in our dispensation, you got one thing here. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. And I'll give you one or two of these, and then I'll let your brain rest a little bit, maybe. I hope I hadn't overstayed my welcome here, but There's a lot of stuff in here on this. Ephesians chapter 6. And here's one of these supposed contradictions that people don't read their Bible. I always kind of make fun of them. I can't stand somebody make fun of the Bible. Well, I wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Watch this. Ephesians 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It didn't say it was the first commandment. It's the first commandment with a promise connected to it. You see, people say, that's the first commandment. That wasn't right. No, with a promise. All right, it says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Part of it is obedience. Well, if a child don't obey their parents, guess what? Your parent is there to point you in the right direction. Look, when you turn 15, don't get in that vehicle chase and go down that road and go 80 miles per hour. 90 mile an hour, you'll run around a curb and have a wreck. Look, your parents are trying to help you and they're wanting to live long. You know what the Lord's trying to do? He's trying to give you things in here that will help you spiritually. That's why the Bible says, eat so much as sufficient for thee. You know what we do, especially Americans? We go up here to Mi Pueblo, load the plate down 3 or 4 times, and we expect to live 90 years. Yeah. You're not going to live that long overloading your body like that, overload your digestive system like that all the time. You can do it every now and then, but not every day. You know what happens? We won't listen to the Bible, and people, you know why the life, as things progressed on and on and on, they started off and, you know, one sin over here and they're still living around 900 years. But as sin increased, the more sin increased, the more people die. You know why people are dying so much right now? Sin's increasing. You take all this stuff and here's the over-righteous part. People say, all right, that's it. I'm going to eat organic and I'm just going to live to 100 years. Yeah, the Bible says cursed is the ground.
That's right.
So either way, you're going to die. You're not going to get out. But you know what the Lord's saying? If you don't get hit by a truck and if you don't have an accident, you don't get cancer, you can live in a right way and prolong your life. Look, some of these people, there are people, look, one of our favorite Bible teachers, he lived to 93 years old up until he fell and got hurt. That man was as active as any of us in this room. Why? You know what he did? He took care of himself. He was careful. He ate as sufficient for him. He would tell you he didn't get in here and overload his body all the time. He drank water. You can't take your body and go drink Coca-Colas and all the Dr. Peppers you want, Mountain Dew, and live your life like that and put everything, all the candy in your body and expect to live to 90. What he's saying is, this is in the Bible here. Look, you can die before your time. People say, well, it's appointed unto man wants to die. You can find over here, let me show you this other verse. I'll try to close with this. I hope I ain't boring you with this, but I want to show you this. Look over here. I think it's Job chapter 14. You can't, look, the Bible's saying, God is saying every man is going to die. But He's given you free will. Foreknowledge, he knows the day you're going to die. But he didn't come out here and say, all right, I'm making Brother Paul die so-and-so. I'm making Brother Brett die so-and-so. I'm making Brother Chase die so-and-so. He knows on your own free will when it is, but he's given you a life. And he's saying, look, here's the Bible. Here's common sense. And live this life like this. And guess what? If you'll live according to these things right here and go by my word, you can live a long life. Now, accidents happen. We see that. Some days a righteous man may die, may not prolong his day, and a wicked man. But in general, you can live to a good 70 and 80 years, and some people over that, if you will do what the Word of God says. Now, here's another thing before I read these verses. Prayer and Bible reading is good for your mind. It is a proven fact. I've got books at the house, science books, and I read a good bit of science and stuff like that. It's good for your mind to get up in the morning and start your day. One of the best things you do, start your day drinking a whole bunch of water. And I say, hope to drink, 8 ounces or less. Start your day off drinking water. And guess what you can do? If you go in there and you will pray and start your mind off like that, God knows that. Not saying, you know, we're trying to just do that for that particular purpose. But if you'll do what God says, it starts your mind right and starts you off in a less stressful environment. If you want to have a stressful day, wake up late, roll out of the bed, run in there right quick, splash some water on your face, brush your teeth right quick, run out the door, you have a stressful day. Start your day slow. Start your day early. He's saying those things. Why? To prolong your life. He tells you how to live longer. Job chapter 14. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will be sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. What he's saying is, it's one of these things where God's made a boundary where man cannot live but a certain many years on this earth. But as far as you living close to the Lord, guess what you can do? You can take that thing and say, you know what, I'm going to live close to God. And I know that the things can happen, but guess what? If I live close to God, the years that I do live will be full of life.
Amen.
That's what you've got to get out of this thing. When you go out of here, you realize this, I'm going to take this vessel that God's given me, and I want to treat it as good as I can treat it. And if God sees fit to allow something to happen, okay, well, the Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die anyway. That's up to him. But here's the part. You've got free will on your part to at least take care of yourself. Why? So you can be a blessing to those of us that are here. Here's the issue. A lot of times, we want to live selfish. And so I'm going to do this, that, and other, and forget there's other people around us depending on us to live life to the fullest around them. Why? So you can be a blessing to them while you are here. And you know what? A selfless life, a life that's more devoted to others around you. You know what it'll do? I can give you verses. We don't have time. But I can tell you, it will put more life in your years. When we get to the place we start thinking about how can I help these other ones around me? How can I help them? You know what happens? It naturally, as far as what I see in the Bible there, it naturally starts adding more life to you. Why? You're not going to outgive God. We always look at that thing as financial, but I'm going to tell you something. Spiritually speaking, when you're trying to be a blessing to other people, God would just put more life and more energy into you as you try to be a blessing and help to others. You know what we need to do as we go out here? Say, Lord, I know there's a lot of things I don't know, but what I do know is I want to try to be a help and encouragement to other people while I've got the energy to do it and while I still am here. And you know what God will do? He will add life. I ain't going to say, you know, we're all going to live to 90, which I mean, be nice. I'd like to go up in the rapture, be honest with you. But at the same time, let's try to be a blessing to those that are around us and add life to our years and their years. And you know what? When you get up, at least on the other side, you'll have some of that wealth we was talking about put up over yonder. Maybe that's a help to you. We'll close out. Brother Brett, if you would, close us out.